Morning, Mike.
Morning, Aaron. Morning.
So today, Mike said he wants to talk about simplicity.
Yeah.
And that's all I know. So I want to lead off and tell us why. Tell us why.
Yeah. So you remember from the last chat that we had, so obviously the overriding subject here is longevity.
Yeah.
And and I talked about the blue zones, which was that study from around the world of places where people are living the longest.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was 9 common elements amongst those places, which right now I'm not going to say because I don't have them in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But one of them is they talk about downshift or kind of making simpler, de-stressing your life, decluttering your life.
Yeah.
And they talk about simplifying as one of the vectors of simplicity. Of longevity, and how to kind of create the elements that set you up for a long life. So simplicity. I guess it's a topic that I find so interesting because everything in our world tries to create complexity.
Mm.
And it's almost like the art of living is I actually read that recently somewhere. It was probably on an Instagram post. It was something like, you know, the thing with life is you have all this desire and everything's created around trying to get more and more and more and more through messaging and, you know, society and achievement-based lifestyle. And then all of a sudden, the art of living becomes of letting it all go.
Mm. We must be, surely we are the most complex society that anyone's discovered to date.
Yeah, we seem to kind of...
I mean, structurally, we're very complex.
Mm. Yeah. It's true. So, one of the things, the challenges of life is how do we simplify, and why would we want to do that, and is that something that brings happiness?
Mm.
So I was looking through a few notes on this last night, and I realized I'd written this, I think it's a, you'd call it a blog post or something, it's on my website like 4 years ago. So I thought, oh, perfect. It was called 10 Ways to Simplify Your Life and Make It Radically Yours. So I'm going to just read a few things off it as we
go. Okay, all right. Quote yourself.
Yeah, that's kind of embarrassing. But it's, you know, probably what I was going to say anyway. I'll read the opening blurb and then we can go from there.
Okay.
So simplifying our lives can be one of the most empowering things we can do to free ourselves up and travel light through life. It doesn't take long to fill life up with clutter and be running all day to manage it all. The feeling of control you get back through simplifying is amazing, and it's really pretty easy. One of the main things we get back through simplifying life is time. Time to focus on the most important things in our lives: family, friends, passions, hobbies, community, health. There's so many benefits. It's a less expensive lifestyle, which means less costs, less debt, more freedom, ability to do more meaningful work, less clutter, more happiness, and you're more focused. There's heaps of ways to do this, as in simplify. And we're going to look at the 10 most effective here, so I've got a list of 10 here. One of the cool things about this, that simplifying is actually a good time. The more you do, the more you can see other areas that can be done. So whether you're just getting started or this is a yearly ritual, here's 10 things too.
I take from that you were experimenting with simplicity at the time or tried that yourself, or did you have some little journey around there?
Yeah.
You went on?
I think so. I think it's something that I'm always playing around with, is because, you know, like anyone, my life all of a sudden gets complex, and then I have to think what's happening here and how can I simplify it, or I'll hear a talk from someone who inspires me to simplify my life a bit more. Or so, yeah, definitely. It's always on my radar. And I think my experience of it is the more that I have simplified, the more that I have, the more happy I've been.
Do you find that you simplify and then things get more complicated again, and then you have to like reset? Does that happen?
Totally.
Yeah.
All the time. I think it's kind of like that. There's that. They talk about it in Steiner education and all sorts of kind of you know, yoga, and they talk about the breathe in, breathe out of life. So there's an element of work and there's an element of rest, or there's a, you know, there's an element where we build up and then there's an element where we drop down again. So there's the breathe in, breathe out. So I think there's always that we move to complexity and then we move to simplicity, and we just, there's always a flow through life of different needs at different times. And
as opposed to just spiraling levels of complexity?
I think that that's the trap.
Yeah.
That's a game you're never going to win. There's no prize.
There's no prize?
The prize is for having the most stuff.
The prize is more complexity.
Yeah.
A more complicated life. If you can handle this much, we got more.
We got more.
It's a never-ending game, except it's not a very good game.
Yeah, I've just read, well, I say read, but listened to the Audible book.
Yeah.
Of the guy, Yvon Chouinard, who's he owns and started the business Patagonia.
Yep, there's a film. There's a film coming out, something to do with Patagonia. Is that the same thing?
About him, is it?
No, I don't know. Hold on, keep talking. I'll see if I can find this. Oh, no, it's gone. I'm on Facebook. Don't go on Facebook.
So, it's so interesting because he, obviously, that's a massive, massive business, billion-dollar business, which he has... He's been a student of Zen Buddhism his whole life, which is essentially, from what I can gather, a religion based on simplicity.
Right.
It's like, how simple can we make this? And so he's used those philosophies throughout his business the whole way, which has created this amazing business with this interspersed all throughout it. And He talks about, because he originally started his business through making climbing gear, because he was a climber back in, I mean, I don't know when, he's 85, 86 years old now. So.
Oh, wow, okay.
But he was making these, I can't remember what they're called, but they're those things you jam in the rock as you climb so you can get a grip and then go up again and go up
There's
again.
A variety of tools that do that. So.
It's a variety of tools.
Yeah, yeah.
And he talks about how, they would make this piece of equipment, and they would just they would start it off as, and it would be quite a complex piece of equipment, and then they'd slowly refine and refine and refine and refine until it was just the most basic thing you could possibly need to do the job.
Yeah.
But because of so much focus they'd put on the quality of it and so much refinement, it was the best possible piece of equipment, even though it was the most simple thing you could ever use. And so he's used that philosophy throughout his whole business, and I won't. That's a whole nother talk, but it's just cool to see kind of how, because I think we're in the belief that the more complex and the more stuff we're doing and the more things we have, the more success we'll have.
Well, that's interesting to be trying to make something and keep it simple. Like try opening the bonnet of your car today and a bonnet of a car made in the 60s and looking at the engine.
Mm.
And the cars are better, but all we've done is, well, I'm not an expert, but it looks like all we've done is tacked bits on around the outside to kind of manage what's going on in the engine. And yeah, you lift your bonnet now and it's just a sea of things. Whereas you look at an old car from even the 70s, it's just the motor in the space. And I always wondered about that, like, is it actually better that we've made the car so complicated? Is it better? Now to fix a car, you need to plug it into a computer.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. And it's like the, you know,
and that's a metaphor for everything else that's going on, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're almost gimmicks of this gimmicks of comfort. Like like, you know, with my car, I've got one of those keyless entry things, fob, which is made so that I can just touch my door handle and the whole thing unlocks and then can start the car with a button. And
yeah, that's weird. The first time I got into a car, they had to start with a button.
Yeah.
It really messed with my head. I was like, that's not how we do it. But
it's not how we do it. And, yeah. And there's an element of, you know, it is an easy thing. But the moment I lose that fob, I'm out.
Yeah.
I've got to spend like $1,000 to get a new one, and there's some, they've got to reprogram it. And, you know, whereas if it's just a key, well, I've got a spare key cap for $5.
Yeah. Well, for $1,000, you could go and buy an old car.
Yeah.
It'd be quicker to go and buy an old car for $1,000 than to pay the company to bring you the new one. Another thing that's like really indicative of the complexity is like we've got the unlock button on your keyring. So not the fob, which like you're talking about, but the slightly older cars where you just press the button on your keyring and it unlocks the door, and it saves you from the bother of having to put the key inside the keyhole and turn it. Now, I say that as if it's absurd, but I feel it making a difference. When the button stopped working on my one, I was like, oh, this is annoying.
Yeah.
And we're so focused on making everything super efficient that the lost seconds there bothered me.
Yes.
You know, like, so what values have I picked up from our society about complexity and being efficient and using my time efficiently? And is efficiency is not the same as simplicity, is it?
It's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That actually reminds that this is another thing from jiu-jitsu the other night, actually, is Travis who takes... Do you know Travis? He takes jiu-jitsu.
Travis Brown, does he also do the surf club? Is it the same person? Yeah, I know Travis.
So Travis is such an awesome coach, and he weaves in all sorts of metaphor into the training for the kids, so there's all sorts of bigger picture life lessons.
Yeah.
And one of the things he said the other day, because they were learning something new, and he was just talking about the importance of learning something new in a slow way so that you can kind of get it right, and then when you need to, you can speed that up, but you started slow.
Yeah.
And your brain's wired up the correct movement. And then he had this little saying, which I thought was so cool, which was, slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Yeah, that's really good. And I know, like, as a little boy, I would have wanted to instantly do the moves at the same speed that the teacher was doing them.
Yeah.
And that would have been my way to try and learn it, which obviously is exactly what he's trying to stop from happening.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it's like you were saying with your... Those lost milliseconds from that key.
Yeah.
Actually, if we're doing things slowly and we're doing them in a way that's kind of working, it's in a nice flow, well, there's no lost time because it's a faster result anyway.
Yeah, so don't try to be frantic to get things done because that doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah, which, you know, it's hard not to do that, but it's just a good reminder.
Yeah, yeah. We talk about the importance of being present in our lives, and I'd say we're better able to do that if our life is simple. Like if you're just going hard out, answering a million emails, if that's part of your job, and just racing through everything, at the end of the day you look back and you're like, so what did I do today? I can't really remember. It's just a bit of a blur. I know I got some things done.
Yeah.
But you're not... when they talk about being present, they talk about noticing what's happening around you, about grounding yourself, about all that sort of stuff. And a busy, efficient, complex life is the opposite of that.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's quite a funny thing too, because say if you are having you have a real full-on week doing heaps, you're busy, doing lots and lots of things, because obviously it feels like we're being productive. You get, you know, this is my experience when I do that, and then I'll get to the end of the week and I'll be like, I should feel amazing because I just did a lot of stuff and I was really productive and I was really efficient, and but I feel the same as if I just had a cruisy week. In fact, I probably feel a bit more worn out.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I was saying before, like there's no prize, because I almost feel like, dude, have a big week and I'm busy. I'm like, yeah, I got heaps of stuff done. And then I'm like, right, who's handing me the award? But there's no award.
Yeah.
and actually, if I take my time and I enjoy the week and I have space in the week to do fun things and rest, I feel great. And I don't feel like I need an award.
So you consciously, I don't know if you thought deeply about that award aspect, but that's like being at school as a kid, where awards and things like that are used to encourage us to be productive and efficient, which is a real challenge for a child whose real job in life is to play, to learn to be efficient and get things done, and power through the boring things to get the prize. So that the prize is used to train us into that mindset, perhaps, but then as an adult, yeah. That's what you're left waiting for.
Yeah.
Like, where is my prize? A gold star. Where's my gold star?
I agree. I think we've been conditioned into it from, you know, in a societal way from a young age. And I personally feel our job now is, especially for our generation, and you're ahead of me, you've already done that with your kids, but I feel like our job now is to recondition that, now that we've got the awareness of that, is to recondition our kids into being able to drop out of that achievement mindset, thinking that that's going to bring happiness, and to just be absolutely stoked with being them. They don't need to be anything more or less.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the next, you know, that, and then that generation is going to be another evolution of humanity.
Well, that was kind of the conscious thought of taking them out of the school system. But the reality is that we still, as parents, as adults, grown up in our society, we're still teaching them those values anyway by accident. Like one of our kids was like always did everything really fast, and the other one seemed to be doing everything really slow, and every time we wanted to go anywhere it was like, come on, hurry up, and so we're constantly drilling that. And I was actually conscious of the fact that here's a child that already knows how to just sit and stare into space, which actually as adults we're trying to reteach ourselves. All the movement toward meditation and yoga and all that kind of stuff is that ability to just be still and not feel like we have to be doing something. He was a child who already knew how to do that, and I was conscious of the fact that we were basically trying to train it out of her by saying, look, you know, we've got to be here at this place in 5 minutes. We have to go now. Get your shoes, you know, let's go. And or don't get your shoes. Seem to be a lot of not shoe wearing as well. But yeah, like, so
it's so true.
Yeah, as a parent it's actually really hard. There's, you know, there's some things you like, yeah, I'm not going to do what my parents did, but there's other things you're completely unaware of that you're just passing on from our culture that you probably didn't want to but didn't think about it.
Yeah it's a great point, and it's about kind of at least finding some middle ground between the two, you know. Like you say, we live in a culture where you do have to be somewhere at a certain time.
Yeah, and they do actually have to be aware of that. You can't produce an 18-year-old that isn't wired into that a little bit.
Yeah, unless they're going to go live on a boat offshore for the rest of their life where it's timeless, which, hey, like, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
But once we're out on land, there's a certain... there's a certain time frame which society works to. Yeah, you're right.
So do you have strategies for simplifying life?
So what I'm going to do, I've got these 10 ways to simplify your life.
Yeah.
And I'm going to I'll just go through them and we can chat where we need to chat.
Okay.
The first one is, we've already covered this, but it's one is go slow.
Yep.
So, and it's exactly what you just said, going slow is the best way to be present and realize the thing that we're rushing to is actually happening right now.
Okay, it's so a good way to word it.
We're kind of rushing to our happiness, but if we just be present, we're happy. I find myself doing that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I finish this, then I'll be able to do something that makes me happy. But actually,
you can just do happy at that time. Yeah.
Simple communication. So slow it down. So here's a few tips. And as I said last interview, this is not stuff that I necessarily do myself. I love having the knowledge and thinking about trying to do it, but I'm definitely not mastered any of it. So simple communication, slow it down. So give it 24 hours to reply to emails or texts.
24 hours, Mike? Yeah. What are you trying to do to me?
I know. so often the issue has been resolved by then anyway. Schedule in times during the day to reply to email and do them in bulk. This is much more time efficient.
Mm.
Reduce the amount of communication channels you have down to your most used. Aaron's looking at me like, I've got 50, so how do I...
I remember, I was just thinking of a day where I was sitting at my laptop and I was like, I was literally talking to three different people on text, email, and Messenger. Like, I was literally, in the space of like 5 minutes, I was using all three of them. And yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's communication. Number four, priorities. So think about the main things you want to do in your life and make a list, but no more than five. These are your priorities. Nothing else matters. And you can do this for your home and work life too. So it's like, then you can just let go of everything else if you can get really clear on what your priorities are. Number five, I love this one. This is very Raglan. This one is live local.
Mm. So that was just what we all want. We all want local jobs.
Yeah.
I swung it. You've swung it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, there's other people working in Hamilton right now who want it.
Yeah, and you know, like, it's probably, I almost reckon if you're trying to simplify, that's almost the number one thing is living local. And it, you know, like, you might not be able to work local, but there's lots of other things you can do to live a local life.
One thing I want to throw in the mix, which is kind of against it, but the drive from Hamilton into Raglan can be a decompression time, and it gives you the chance to get out of the work headspace and into the home headspace. Because I've had the experience of working in Raglan and like getting in the car and like 2 minutes later I'm in my house and I'm like, oh heck,
yeah.
I'm still in my work headspace. This is really weird. I've got kids around me.
Yeah,
I've got to make an effort to adjust.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, it's a. And I guess you can build that into your life if you're working here too. But yeah, you're right. All this stuff is in principle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just wanted to throw that in the mix unhelpfully.
Yeah. So living locally is getting into a mindset where the first place you look for everything you need is from your own backyard outward.
Okay.
It's about being present in your own community, settling down enough to say, this is where I am, how can I make it better than it's ever been? The local living benefits are huge. Greater community connection creates more time, less travel, greater ease of life, less environmental impact, and a more meaningful and quality life. So,
It actually ticks a lot of boxes, doesn't it?
It kind of does. And you know, I think Raglan really does that well. It's just mental when you think about how many things are on offer in this small town. Like, the most niche thing you can think about, you can do here without having to leave.
Yeah, it's something about we're at the end of the line, so we're not on the way to somewhere else like the towns, little towns on State Highway 1.
Mm.
And there's a big enough gap to Hamilton to make it worthwhile having some services here. But if we were like a little bit closer and on the way to somewhere else, maybe we wouldn't. I don't know. I'm just wondering about that.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it makes it, there's a self-sufficiency that comes with that, eh?
Mm, yeah.
So that's a cool one. And okay, the next one, simple number six is simple hobbies. So often recreation can be time-consuming, complicated to get to or do, expensive, and have the opposite effect of what you're wanting from it. Having simple hobbies can be really satisfying and nourishing. Things like getting into nature, hanging out with friends, spending time alone, like reading or meditating or whatever, gardening, cooking. They're all super simple, super cheap, and pretty fun depending on who you are.
Mm.
Number seven, living frugally. So this one is simple, and it's basically buy less, want less. So, for example, having a very simple wardrobe and fitting out your kitchen with secondhand plates, pots, etc. And usually they're kind of pretty cool anyway. Have a simple, easy-to-follow budget that you stick to. So no wondering what you can spend, nice and clear. And it also, living frugally also has less impact on the world as a result.
So there's a lot to that. You can, if you're living frugally, you also don't need a job that earns a lot of money. And usually the jobs that earn a lot of money are also the high-stress ones, where you might end up having to work late or work on weekends, or just you've got a really heavy load on you. And on those jobs, you need to, because you've got jobs like that, you're probably going to have dinner out more often because you just need to. You're like, there's no way I can prepare dinner tonight. Let's go out for dinner. And you have to have a holiday where you go overseas to a place that's completely different to get yourself to unwind. And like, there's a lot of extra costs to life that come from those high pressure jobs that have got the high pay, but the pay just goes into trying to maintain you.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And there's elements of truth in that. Obviously, there's a lot of variation. Everyone's life experience is different, but you can get away with the simple, easier job.
Yeah,
it means you can have a life where you don't need so much money.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's right, and still be as fulfilled. You know, you can still find a job that's going to fulfill you. But
The simple job, you get to do things too, like be present at your kid's sport or help coach their sport, or you know, you're at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, your kid's got dance classes. There's all sorts of, you know, drama.
Mm.
You can kind of participate and help out with that stuff and be a part of it, rather than just turning up to the game on Saturday if you're lucky, or the show at the end of the year.
Yeah.
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 You can be more involved, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it can be a bit of a process, especially if you are coming from a big full on job like that, to kind of take a downshift into something more simple.
Well, there's potential for a perceived loss of status.
That's a perceived loss
of usefulness.
Yes.
Yeah, as well.
Yeah, yeah, and that's quite a hard thing to wrap your head around.
It actually is. We should talk about status one time, because that I don't think we tend to poo-poo it. We shouldn't be chasing status, but we live in a world where status is a form of currency.
Mm.
Yeah, we should definitely talk about that one time.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, you know, I think that's something that I can really appreciate, how it is hard to drop out of that when you're in it. Actually, one of my really good friends, he lives in Auckland, and he had this digital marketing agency for a decade. It was, and it became quite a big business, and it was really all consuming. Like, you know, he was up at 5 a.m. getting back to emails.
There we go. Yeah,
yeah, working right. You know, and he, I think it was 3 years ago, he sold it, and he made enough money that he could take a year off, and he's got young kids, and so he did that. He took a year off, and he was, you know, doing, like you said, he was doing all the sports, and he was really involved in his kids, and then a year kind of went into 2 years,
yeah,
and now he's into his third year, and he said just progressively as time's gone on, he's reconditioned his mind out of that kind of status,
yeah,
of what he had, and but it has been a process, and now he sent me these things yesterday of people in his from his former kind of work life sending him these job offers.
Oh yeah,
and that they're these real fancy jobs, and he said, and his replies are all like, "Mate, I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out."
Yeah. You think you're tempting me, but you're not.
Yeah, that's not attractive anymore. You know?
Yeah,
but it did take him 3 years to get there.
Mm.
So, I do appreciate that. That's a journey. Okay, simple health. So this is number 8. Great health can be so straightforward. Using simple techniques and making small changes in your daily lifestyle can have huge effects on your health. Great results can be obtained by small, consistent actions. By setting up the conditions to heal and thrive, the body can do the and mind can do the rest. Did you know that smelling the skin of an orange naturally boosts your mood? Do you know what happens if you stand barefoot on the grass for 5 minutes a day? I can tell you what happens there. It's a really good health thing to do.
Okay.
I won't go into that.
Yeah, yeah, we won't have time for that. But
so,
It's a good season for oranges, though, right now.
It's a good season for oranges.
Yeah, all the citrus is coming online. Well, I shouldn't say coming online. What a terrible phrase.
Well,
it's fruit.
Yeah, it's there.
It's not online. It's real.
So health can be so simple, you know, like going for a walk, getting outdoors, getting vitamin D, eating good food. It can be the most simple thing, which we can make quite complex. So I like that one. Number 9, create routines and systems in your life. This is going to make a few people recoil and contract and feel like, I don't want that in my life, but I'll read it. Routines and systems sound so boring, but these are one of the best ways to simplify your life, believe it or not. Often we've unconsciously created routines in our lives that complicate things. For example, this is me personally, I had a routine for so long of having no schedule for dinners. This is with, you know, having my son and everything. So I just like freestyle it every night.
That's so cool. You're so cool. You're freestyling your dinner. Is that what you were thinking?
I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
But all I did was every night I was like, what are we having? And then I'd be like confused and they'll be looking in the fridge and the freezer and I'd be like, okay. And then it would be a rushed thing. And then a friend of mine said that she just made a weekly thing of like, this is what I have every night. And then went to the supermarket. She knew what to buy. Looked on the thing. It's Tuesday. That's what we're having. We've got the ingredients. Bang. So I did that and it completely de-stressed our evenings.
Changed your life.
Changed my life.
The hardest thing about cooking is choosing what to cook, I've found. It really stresses me out. Once I know what I'm doing, that's okay.
Oh, totally. So if you consciously make a routine or system, you simplify your life by reducing the amount of decisions you have to make. You're more focused and you create positive boundaries and you're less reactive.
Mm. And number 10, we're up to number 10?
Last one is reducing distractions.
Oh, well, we live in a world where distractions I can't even say it. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I'm so distracted.
I was trying to think of all the distractions. Yeah.
So at its core, simplifying your life is about removing distractions. It's about decluttering all the things that take you away from what's most important to you. Some common distractions and solutions. So email, and we talked about this, you can do that in blocks. Screen time is a distraction, so reducing smartphone time, deleting apps, turn it off when you're not using it. Unused possessions, so get rid of things you don't use, declutter, organize your space. Multitasking, which we talked about last time, try and do one thing at a time.
Don't do multitasking, folks, if you can avoid it.
And that's basically, you know, that's a whole other topic as well. But so there it is. There's a number 11, which is so, so on point for Raglan, and that is refuse, reduce, reuse, recycle.
Okay, right.
But let's not.
All right, we'll go into that.
You probably cover that in your show all the time anyway.
I think I'm talking to Gemma from Extreme next week. I think I've got her booked in.
Yeah.
She's the new Sarah.
Oh, okay.
Right, yeah. She says she doesn't mind being called the new Sarah. That's all good.
That's quite
She's happy with that.
That's quite a nod to Sierra, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So so that wraps it up. There's some ways to simplify your life, and I guess why it makes life potentially easier and more joyful.
Yeah, simplification is it's like quite a soothing word now, isn't it?
It is.
Didn't used to be, I think, but these days, to me anyway, in my life, it feels like quite a soothing word.
Do you feel like you've got a simple life?
Yes and no.
Hmm.
Yeah, I have a tendency to unsimplify my life, but I have done some good things, like getting rid of the busy important job, and trying to make a life work out here. And I did have the space to do those things with my kids, you know, and get involved in their sport and their activities and that sort of stuff. So
yeah. But
there's other areas where I'm failing dismally.
Yeah.
And my kids aren't at home now anyway, so that's kind of less important.
Has that simplified more?
It's not a good simplification, Mike. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think, like I say, I think it's just a constant life thing. Your life will become more complex, and then you'll become more simple, and it's a wave.
Yeah, we need to, these days, in this life, I think we need to definitely keep that in mind as a goal, eh? So we were talking to Mike, who comes in every few weeks to talk about longevity, as in longevity of life, I presume, Mike.
Longevity of life, yep.
That's what it's all about. Okay, I'm trying to find a song. Cold War Kids, Hang Me Up to Dry. I don't think that's relevant in any way, but we're going to play it anyway.
Thanks, Aaron.
See ya.